Acts chapter 2. We're wrestling and thinking with the Lord about what message to preach. You know, I had Monday for the teachers orientate or teachers professional day message, devotion message there I preached, and Thursday for an orientation message, Wednesday, and then it was going to be Sunday school, but then the pastor said, I asked, who's preaching Sunday? He's like, you are. So we had a message, and I was really wanting to preach about lovest thou me, lovest thou me. And I was preparing and working and just didn't really get peace about it, you know, and different things on Friday. So, but the Lord had other plans. In Acts chapter 2, we're going to preach this morning, we're going to talk this morning about the model church, in a church how we should pattern ourselves after. This church serves as an example of all church for all churches, although it was not a perfect church, because as one could read a little later in the book of Acts, and I heard from Brother Party, you guys doing Acts in Sunday school, so you're doing the church. So you'll see that this church is not a perfect church. It had its hypocrites in it. It had some errors in it. It had sinful people, all types. But it still serves as a model church in many important respects, as we even see in the Zaman today as we look at it. These verses tell us what developed in the church and how it functioned just right after Pentecost. This church was an inner city church, a large church, had multiple ministries. It was a huge church. In Acts chapter 1, it had 11 apostles. And then they picked another apostle to replace Judas. We told as chapter 1 comes to a close that there was 120 believers in this church. Then, as the beginning of Acts 2 happens, Pentecost happens. In Acts 2, and 3,000 folks get saved. Now the membership is up to 3,120. It began with 12 apostles, but it expanded, and as you see in the next several chapters, 3, 4, 5, that many of the souls got saved. And then when you got to chapter 6, they called for some deacons, some helpers, for the men of God can worry about preaching and worry about praying for the church, and deacons can help serve in the ministry and take care of the needs and the widows and others. The success of the church, it was 19 officers, 12 pastors, and 7 deacons. The success of the church was not because of these 19 officers alone, but because of the faithfulness of all of its members, amen? And we're going to look at 4 different things this morning, but Acts chapter 2, let's stand and we'll read God's word here, verses 38 through 47, and then we'll make our prayer and get started this morning. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And they, continuing daily with one accord in a temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. All Our Heavenly Father, we come in the name of Lord Jesus Christ once again. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for the privilege to stand behind this pulpit and to proclaim your word. And Lord, I ask you, Lord, to hide me behind the cross of Calvary, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, not that I be up here preaching my own words, Lord, what I want. I just ask the Holy Spirit of God take over. Have free reigns to work in and through me. May the words be your words this morning. May we, as a congregation, as a church this morning, Lord, hear from you. Take heed to what we hear. Apply it to our life. Apply it to our church that we can be a church that honors and glorifies you. A church that do more in our community. Lord, we just ask your blessing upon the reading of the word. And now the teaching of your word, Lord, exhort. And Lord, may it be all done for your honor and glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we're going to look at this morning, there's four characteristics that I see in this church that serves that this church is a model church, a church for us. It was a church that studied the Bible. It was a studying church, and we're going to look at that. It was a church, as you see it also in verse 42, was a church that had Christian fellowship. And that is a fellowshipping church, a fellowshipping, getting to get together. And true fellowship is always around God, amen, and in Christ. And it was also a worshiping church. They worshiped corporately together. When the doors were open, they met. When they went to house, they met. They worshiped daily. And it was a evangelistic church. It was a witnessing church, amen. It's a church that was not afraid, not ashamed, wanting to get the word of God out there. In Acts chapter 2, when Peter spoke, he spoke with all boldness. And you see that. And as the apostles, as the leaders, they're preaching, encouraged other people to say, hey, and they got out, and they went out and did the same thing. And we're going to look at these four things this morning. Number one, it was a studying church. It was a church that was always wanting to learn, amen? A church that wanted to get it in the Word of God. They devoted themselves, as the verse says in 42, to the apostles' teaching. They were learning. They were a studying church. They couldn't get enough, amen, we'd say. This was the first thing that Luke mentioned about the church here in Acts chapter 2. Yes, it was a joyful church. It was a church that was growing and growing, you know, 3,000 Pentecost. And as the days go by, as verse 47, church daily that should be saved. Lord added daily. It was a church growing. It was a vibrant church. But the most important thing I want to think of the church, it was a church that was a church that wanted to hear from God, amen? That wanted to break the bread of life open, wanted to study, wanted to. The church could have been tempted and say, man, let's live in Acts 2. Let's live with Pentecost and the day of Pentecost because great things happened that day. They could have said, hey, let's just keep remembering Pentecost. Let's keep focusing on that accomplishment. All the signs and the wonders and all the things and how the Holy Spirit, you know, spoke and everybody heard it in their own languages. And they could say, hey, let's just focus on the miracle. Let's just focus on the miracle of Pentecost and just stay here. But no. They could have been tempted and saying, Lord, let us see you do this again. Let us focus on that. But they weren't. Instead, they weren't reveling in the past. They were reveling. They were focusing. They were wanting the word of God. Give me more. Give us more. They wanted the word. I submit to you that this is always the first mark of a spirit-filled church. Amen? A church that is hungry for the word of God. A church, and of course, the church is made up of the people. Amen? People that want more. Not satisfied with, okay, just get up there and say something, preacher. Okay, let's go. No, give us more. Give us more. Give us more. Wanting more. It is the mark of a spirit-filled church, wanting to. The apostles' doctrines referring to teaching, refers to men that were specifically called, chosen by the Lord. And these 11 apostles, and then when they Titus, when these guys started preaching and teaching, the people just wanted to hear it. You know, there was many wonders and signs done that even the apostles themselves did. But as you go on, they wanted to get into the Word and study. Paul stated in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, the mark of apostles is that they did signs and wonders and mighty deeds, and these apostles did do things. And of course, the Jews, they always were looking for a sign, and a lot of the apostles were with signs and different things. But as Christians, believers are exhorted to study the Word, amen? Study the Word of God. And I'm glad we have a pastor that he don't just tickle your ears. Just don't give you little sermonettes, amen? He gets into the Word. He studies the Word and gets into the Word that he can give to you. And when you get here on Sunday morning, you get it from Brother Party in Sunday school or in other classrooms, you get it Sunday night, Wednesday night, it should be an appetite. It should be just a to get you want more. You know, appetizers in the restaurants, you know, just to give you a little taste and you get into the main course. Here you're getting the appetizer. And then you should want to go out and, man, let me study this out some more. Let me get into this some more. It's not part of my message, but I'm just compelled from the Lord right now to say, if this is all the Bible you're getting, you're shortchanging yourself. Amen? If Sunday morning, Sunday school, or if you come back Sunday night and Wednesday night, if this is all the Bible you're getting during the week, you are shortchanging yourself. If you want to be a church member that's doing something, you got to get in the Word. Today, the believers are exhorted to study the Word. 2 Peter 1, verse 21, for prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This is God's word, amen? Yes, he had authors, he had men write it, but they listened as they were told, and they wrote as they were told to write down. This is God's book, and we are encouraged to get into it and to study it. I really believe in the early church here, and you'll stick around in Sunday school, you're going to be learning with Peter, and then even going on when it flips over in Acts, after Acts 9, and it goes from the Jews and flipping to the Gentiles. And I'm going to give you some examples this morning, but it was a church. I mean, Acts is a transitional period, amen? But we see these churches in here, and they had one thing in common, is that they had a desire for the Word of God. Being a Spirit-filled church and studying the Word of God go hand in hand. Hand in hand. What is true about the church is also true for our individual life. You know, you see a church making much out of the Word of God. You know, God's going to do something with that church. Amen? You see individuals loving the Word of God and can't get enough of it and want more and more of it, you're going to see God do something with that Christian. We must provide ways for people to get to know the Word of God more in church. And our church does, amen? Many ways. We have the preaching services. We have Sunday school. We have the teaching services. We have other Bible classes. We have Vacation Bible School for the kids, amen? We have Bible studies. We have discipleship program, amen? And it's a great Bible study. There's different ministries and stuff. Provide ways, opportunity for you to get the Word of God. And as a church, we want our folks, we want the body, we want all of us believers just to get in the Word of God. You know, when the preacher or a guest preacher or myself, any of us stands up here and preach, we just don't want you to take us at our word. We want you to get in there and see if this is true or not. We want you to have a zeal, have a hunger for the Word. righteousness, as the Beatitude says, would it? Let me just give you, let's go flip up to Acts 11. You know, first several, chapters, it's talk about the church of Jerusalem, and growing and doing, and many miracles, many wonderful things they did. The choosing of the deacons in Acts 6. You got Stephen, you got there, Acts 9, you got Paul, the conversion of Paul. Acts 10, 11, Acts 11. You have the church here, verse 11 and verse 19, the Gentile church at Antioch. And what do you say in the end part of verse 19? They preached the word to none, but only the Jews only. But they preached the word. They got the word of God out. And I see the church at Antioch. It was a preaching church. And if you go Acts 11 and Acts 12, it was a preaching church. It was a teaching church. It was a church that put a lot on the word of God. It was a church that was a giving church. It was a training church. It was a praying church. It was a church that just wanted people to grow. And even a church that sends others out. It was a great church, the church of Antioch. But I see about the church where it rules back with Jerusalem and stuff. Ideal aspect, it was a church that made much on the word of God and preaching and teaching the word of God. Even Paul on the first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas, there and getting out and wanting what? They want to go preach Jesus. They want to go preach the word of God. They want to go preach the Bible and how to live. In Acts chapter 17, you have the church of Thessalonica. And they were a church that was known for preaching the word of God. It was a preaching church. Again, it was a teaching church. A church that was studying the word. And that's probably in Acts chapter 17, verse 2 talks about it. And what's so known about the church of Thessalonica? It was a church that turned the world upside down for Christ. Amen. It turned the world upside down because they got themselves into the word of God. And they studied it, they learned it, they preached it, and they lived it. They made much of the word. And the church of Thessalonica, and helped turn the world upside down in Acts 17:6. But then right after that, it talks about the church at Berea. What's so full great about the church in Berea? Acts 17. Verse 11. These were more noble. Verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, and came hither unto the synagogue of the Jews. And these were more noble than those of Thessalonica, in that they what? Received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scripture whether these things were so or not. They were more noble than Thessalonica. Why? Because they were ready to receive with all readiness of mind. They wanted the word of God. They wanted to hear it. They wanted to receive it. They wanted to have it deep inside them. Meditate upon it. And they just didn't take what Paul or Silas or whoever was preaching gave them. They went and they searched it out themselves. And they were more noble. The church at Philippi, Paul and Silas, now on a second missionary journey, teaching and preaching to the people, people getting saved, people getting baptized, people learning the word of God, and churches being more established. Lydia, the jailer, his household, others, they get saved and they started getting taught the word of God, and they had a zeal, they had a desire to give me more. The church of Corinth, Paul spent a year and a half there ministering them, teaching them the word of God, preaching to them. Ephesus, people getting saved, people getting baptized. Acts 18, Corinth, Acts 19, 20, Acts 20, Ephesus. Baptized, hearing the word and receiving the word. Paul carries the church in the training. The Bible says the word of God carried on, growing there mightily. The word of God was prevailing. The church was doing great. It's so much that Paul didn't even want to leave them. But the Lord told him to move on. In Acts 20, Paul comes to address the church elders at Ephesus. And he goes to say, hey, just keep, one of my slogans, just keep on keeping on. Just keep preaching the word. Just keep teaching the word. Just keep growing. I mean, they have a desire for it. Just keep telling them, preachers and teachers. And it's a theme in the book of Acts, but it goes back to, let's say, the model church, the church after Pentecost, church in Jerusalem, Acts chapter 2, where this church had a desire, it had an appetite for the word of God, and they wanted it, and they studied, and they read, and they learned. I can go so much more, but I still got 3 more points this morning. But let me just say this before I move on. If you don't know it, learn the verse, then apply the verse. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen? 2 Timothy 2:15. Study the word. Study, study, study. Oh, saying, I heard it from a preacher many years ago. I'm not sure it was Dr. Seitler or who it was, but many years ago when I, Bible college down in Florida. Show me a Bible falling apart, and I'll show you a person. I'll show you a man. I'll show you a woman staying together. Amen? Make much out of the Word of God. Make much. Make much out of the Word of God, and God can make much out of you. Amen? I see the first characteristic from this model church, this example church in Acts chapter 2, was a church that was studying the Word. They heard it. They heard it preached. They heard it taught. And it whet their appetite, and they wanted more. Give me more. Give us more. And they went, and they wanted to. And they didn't have it like we have it, amen? They had parchment. They had the Old Testament. They didn't have. So a lot of it was their hearing it. So imagine, you know, hey, let's go over to your house, Joe, today, and let's have it today. Okay, Brother Dick, we'll go over to your house today and we'll have it there, or maybe the afternoon. And they just went house to house and they just wanted to keep hearing the Word of God like they couldn't get enough. You know, in our day and age, we don't meet in houses all over the place. That's bad because God has blessed us with a church building. And we had the facilities, which they didn't have back then. But do we still should have a desire that we want to get together and meet and study and learn the Word of God. They were a church that wanted to study the Word of God. They studied it. They learned it. They meditated upon it. And mostly lived it. My second point this morning was they are a fellowshipping church. They were a fellowshipping church, a Christian fellowship. Not only did they devote themselves to the apostles' doctrine, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. But they also in fellowship, they devoted themselves to fellowship. Fellowship literally means to have communion with, common participation in fellowship with God. 1 John chapter 1 verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that we also may have fellowship with us. Ye may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Real fellowship, true fellowship, should be based around fellowshipping with God, fellowshipping with the Son, being together. Yeah, we can get together, but when we get together, do we bring God involved? Do we live it out? Fellowship with these early saints, they involved the Lord Jesus Christ. They have vowed spiritual experiences. They are looking and say, hey, and they're coming together. Look what God has did for us. Look what God has provided. Look what God. They were sharing one another, encouraging one another, giving one to another, doing one for another, just fellowship and being together. It was something that they enjoyed to do, discussing victories the Lord gave them, coming together, praying one for another, discussing strategies and how they're going to win, how they're going to, you know, win the battle against the evil forces, whatever, how they're going to get out and reach their Jerusalem, you could say. Whenever we are out of fellowship with God, we will not desire fellowship with one another. You know that? When we're out of fellowship with God, it affects our fellowship one to another. And a lot of times, you won't want it. But also the opposite is true too. Because when you're in good fellowship with the Lord, man, you look forward to having fellowship with others, amen? Spending time with others. And I've seen this play out time and time again. Time and time again. I've been back here now this weekend, Labor Day weekend, 13 years ago. We moved back from Virginia 13 years ago. It's been a while. And you see this when people get out of fellowship with God and get away from God, you know, it breaks the fellowship with the believers and stuff. And rightly so, it should in a way, because, you know, their spirit's not right and you shouldn't be having sweet fellowship because it's, you know, just, they're wrong. But, man, when you're kindred spirits and you're both loving God, and you're serving God, and worshiping, you know, you're just in fellowship with God, man, you look forward to fellowshipping with others, amen? You look forward to spending time. I mean, you go on visitation Tuesday or Saturday, and Brother Party came out yesterday, and him and I, you know, it was an enjoyment, just, yeah, we're going to visit bus kids and this and that, but an enjoyment just having that fellowship and this time together. And fellowship around the Word of God, just ministry and different things is sweet. Along with fellowship of spiritual experiences comes the desire of helping those in need, helping each other. And Pastor just talked about this a little bit, but I won't go into a whole bunch. But when one member of the church is hurting or in pain, we all should feel it. Amen. When one's struggling, we all. And the ideal is that it preaches that we're oneness in Christ. Amen. We are oneness with Christ. We're oneness with each other. And it's so important. And I don't think church members really understand the importance we are to each other. We need each other. I mean, we're part of the family of God. And I love the song, you know, and I printed it off. And verse 1 says, you will notice we say brothers and sisters around here. It's because we're family. And these are so dear to us. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears. And rejoice in victory in this family so dear. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Join ears with Jesus as we travel this sod, for I am part of the family of God. From the door of the orphanage to the house of the king, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from weak to the strong, I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God, I belong. I'm so glad to be part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by the blood. Join ears with Jesus as I travel this sod, for I am part of the family of God. I am part of this family of God, and I just love it. My church family is my family, and I'm just so glad that I have others. I have you. We are part of the church. Universally, the one body in Christ universally, but locally, as this is a local church. This is a body of believers that assemble together in this church called Friendship Baptist Church. This is the building, but the church is us. And we're all part of this church. We're all part. Whenever there's an opportunity to fellowship, when there's an opportunity to fellowship, like tomorrow, I love it. Now, as my family, my boys, are like, there's no other kids coming tomorrow. We ain't going to have no one to play with. That's okay. We're still going. You know, they asked me to help cook, so I got to go cook those burgers and hot dogs and sausage and peppers and other things. But it's the fellowship. I just love, you know. And let me share this. If any of you invite me over to your house, I will come eat because I love the fellowship. So anyway, whenever there's an opportunity as a believers in Christ to get together, we should look forward to it. Whenever we can, because there's sweet fellowship around other Christians, amen? And we got, you don't get that a lot of times. I don't get it in my personal family. I got a sister and a brother-in-law that loves God, that's saved. I have a sister that, you know, so-called, she still says she, you know, she's saved, but she's not in church, and she's, you know, going the wrong way, I think, with some things, but it's just not the sweet fellowship as I have with you, with my church family. Because it focuses around the Word of God and the person relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And so, bad times, good times, we can still get together and we can still have sweet fellowship. And we can be there and help each other. Again, the importance of fellowshipping and being together. We're a body. We're a oneness in Christ, and we need to be there. We need to help each other. Need to pray for each other. Support each other. Amen? Number three this morning. The third thing I see in doctrine and fellowship and breaking of breads and prayers. And number three, I see they were a worshiping church. A worshiping church. Breaking of bread, prayer, giving, bringing in bread, of course, refers to communion service. Prayer was done in a corporate service opportunity. You know, they came aside and they prayed at special times, even for special things. We have a prayer service at our church. It's a Wednesday night. We call it our work night around here, amen? It's when we get down and get to business and praying for our church and praying for our country and our government, praying for other churches, praying for salvation for our family members, praying for our missionaries, praying for community, praying for so many different things. We have a prayer list. But it's a time we come together as a church family and we pray. And you see, they were a church that were worshiped because they met together. They preached and they taught and they had communion, and they had broken a bread, and they prayed, and they were giving and doing. We have the Lord's Supper when Pastor Phil is the Lord, or the Lord compels Pastor to have it. Communion is one of the two ordinances of the church. It's very important. Amen. Christ gave his life for the church, and God has given us two ordinances, and we should do them. And when we have communion, as a member of the church, you should be here if you can be here for it. Communion is going to be this Sunday night. Okay, it's usually set a week or two out, and you do the best you can to be here for communion. You should be not only here, but you're ready for communion, amen? You know, some of us, well, I just know I'm not living right, so I'm just not going to come to church and have communion that night. You know, I'm just not going because I know I'm not living right. That's not right. That's not how you're supposed to do. You're supposed to get right before you can come, amen, and partake in communion. Same thing, let me say about the other ordinance of the church is baptism, amen? And when we're going to have a baptism service, it's an ordinance of the church given to the church. And when we're going to baptize someone, we should be here and partake with it and encourage the new believer that's following the Lord in baptism and praise God and encourage them, amen? It's part of the ordinance. Because a lot of times when a person gets baptized, and this is, you see this in a lot of the churches, you know, they come out, all of that could come member of the church. And you're a member of the church, and you should be here seeing who's becoming a member of our church. Amen? 'Forsaking the assembly of ourselves will hinder the church in regards to its members.' When a member is missing, when people are not here, we're not complete. And a lot of times, God can't do what he wants to do because there's people MIA. MIA, missing in action. Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more, so much the more, so much the more we see the day approaching, amen? And that day is approaching, amen? And so I want to encourage us as a church, a worshiping church, when the church doors are open, be here. I believe this church excelled. I believe this church grew because the people wanted it to, amen? The people were excited. The people were encouraged. They were involved, the church in Jerusalem. They did it daily. They met every day. I think that's one thing that's wrong with our churches today. Set on God's time schedule, we're trying to put God on our schedule. Okay, God, I'll give you an hour. I'll give you an hour and a half on a Sunday morning. But that's enough. But here, this first church, this model church in Jerusalem, our example here was that they couldn't get God enough. They couldn't worship him enough. They couldn't, and they wanted it more and more. And whenever they had the opportunity, they came together. They met in worship. I remember an old slogan in the church we had is Alive in 85, and the slogan we have, three to thrive. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And I remember, you know, when I first got saved, church revival meeting, 2 weeks long. Man, God, that's unheard of today, you know. It's like, what? We got to be in church 2 whole weeks? God, help us. Well, yeah, God will help us if he would. Amen? But, you know, then it was down to 1 week. And then we're down to 4 days, Sunday through Wednesday. I mean, it, you know, time it gets going, time the Spirit starts working, it's over. And it just, you know, I think we need to get back to the old ways, amen? Old time religion. Get back to somewhere like, well, hey, someone had the heat on in here this morning. I was like, man, it's warm in here. I go back there, and it's hit over the heat on 72. I said, what? So now I'm back on air conditioning at 70. So, but we have heated. We have air-conditioned buildings. We got padded pews. And God help us if the pastor preaches more than a half an hour, 40 minutes, and we're in church more than an hour, 15, hour and 20. I think we need to get back to the old days where I want to sit there. I want to be there until God gives me something. Amen? Because I want to hear from the Lord today. Their church was a worshiping church. I know there's jobs out there that affect you from being in church. Can't be in church all the time because you work. And there's some jobs that are needed, some jobs out there ain't needed and couldn't be closed, and more people can be in church. And I know there's sometimes traveling or sometimes you're away, and of course, if you're really sick, we don't want you in church anyway because we don't want you to get others sick. But when you can be here, you should be here, amen? We shouldn't stop making excuses. You know, we should make God a priority. We should make worship a priority. When one member is absent, it affects all of us. When a member is missing, we're not complete. We need each other. We can't function well. We can't function right as a church when we're not here. Before I move on to our last point, let me ask, How do we worship? Well, first let me say what worship is. Worship is, it is to adore, amen? It is to pay divine honor to. It is to give reverence to. Reverence to that who is worthy. It is to give adoration. Well, who do we worship? We worship the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? We come here to his house to worship him for all that he has done. We reverence him. We come and adore him. We come and lift up his name and give praise and honor to him. Amen. I come to worship. I come to church for I can give him my three T's. My time. My treasures. My talents. I come to worship. I come to give myself back to the Lord because he has given himself for me. And I come to worship him. And I don't think I can come to church enough to worship him. Amen. And I do worship the Lord. You know, we always have to, in a communion of church service, to actually worship the Lord aspect. I understand that. But we, when the church is meeting together, we should be come together and be here. We come to meet with him in his place. We come to give him worship, praise, and adoration. We come to give him our time, our treasure, our talents. We come to hear from him, from the word of God given by a man of God. Amen. And we come and we give our undivided attention and we listen and we dwell from it because we want to worship. The church in Jerusalem, the model church, gives us an example of worshiping. It was a church that studied the Word. Get into the Word. It was a church built with fellowshipping. Giving and giving and doing for one another, sharing. It was a church with worship. But last but not least, it was a witnessing church. It was a church that was evangelistic, amen? The last verse, verse 47, praising God and have favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I believe verse 47 reveals that the people who took their faith seriously here in this church, they went out, they heard it preach, they apply it, they put it into practice, and they went out and they shared their faith with others. They shared it with others. They were blessed to receive it, and they were blessed to share it, to give it to others. Notice that they were praising God. They were having favor with all people. They were not afraid to live it. They were not afraid to live what they believe. They were a Christian, amen? They were believers, and they weren't afraid to let others know that, hey, I'm a believer in Jesus, amen? They weren't hiding it. The mark of a spirit-filled church is that there will be gladness and singleness of heart in verse 46. And they were glad. They were glad, and they had a singleness of heart. They had one purpose. They had one thing, and they wanted to glorify God in everything they did. Amen? In their studying, in their fellowshipping, in their worshiping, and in their witnessing. They wanted to glorify God. And they knew they had to do it. Notice, too, that God richly blessed their efforts of evangelism. The Lord added. The Lord added. You know, we have our soul winning blitzes, and we go out on Tuesdays. We go out on Saturdays as corporate visitation and bus visitation. We go out other times. I go out personally, you know, a time or two during the week. And we go out, and sometimes we're going door knocking, knocking on doors. Sometimes we're going, you know, following up with others. And we might go 100 houses before we actually get an opportunity to really share the gospel with people. Or 100 doors, 100 people before we really get someone that might totally listen to us and maybe might get saved. But we go out there, and we have our blitzes and other things, and we might not see nothing truly happen that day. But I say this, and I know this from experience because we've been doing this for 8 years now. 8 years. We're not nine. When we go and we're faithful doing and proclaiming God's word, we're faithful going out and doing our job. God is faithful in bringing others in. You know, we might not see the person get saved that day. We might not see that person come to our church that we're out there that day. But God brings others in, amen? And God, others get saved. God is faithful. God blessed their effort, the church of Jerusalem. The church added to the church. They went out. They preached. They witnessed. They shared their faith. And God blessed, and the church grew leaps and bounds. It wasn't a perfect church. Go to Sunday school. Week in, week out, next several weeks, you'll be learning more and more about how this church wasn't perfect. But how they lived, though. But they, some, most, went. They had a zeal. They had a passion. They faithfully went and they shared, and God gave the increase. We need to have a deeper church, Friendship Baptist Church. We need to have a deeper burden for souls. We need to have a more passion, a more zeal for souls. A question to ask yourself right now, when was the last time you asked somebody if they're going to heaven? When's the last time you asked somebody if they were saved? I think maybe we need to get a new picture, a new glimpse of hell in our mind, inside. You know, I was at the State Fair last Sunday night witnessing, you know, I was talking to one, and one girl, college, I think it was college, maybe it's late high school, I'm not sure. And one girl was interested, really interested in me, another one talking about, and said, well, if I don't go to heaven, where I'm going? I said, you're going to hell. He said, really? Good, I want to go there. And she was like, yeah, because I'm going to have so much fun there. People don't have the what really hell is about. But church, I think a lot of us don't really know what hell is all about. Because if we truly did, if we truly had a more glimpse of hell, and the screaming, and the gnashing of teeth, and how the cry out of the pits of hell are coming out, and the torment they're in, maybe we would share the gospel more. Maybe we would tell more people. Maybe we would have a more zeal and burden for souls. People are perishing, but where is the church? Where is the church with the life preserver? Where is the church with the life vest, the life savior, Jesus? Witnessing is not just for the pastors and deacons. It wasn't for just the 19 in Acts chapter 2. It wasn't for the 12 apostles and the 7 deacons in Acts chapter 6. It wasn't. It was a commission. It was something given to all the church. And I'm saying God hasn't changed, amen. We are commanded to go and preach the gospel, Mark chapter 28, Mark chapter 16, 15. We are commanded. We are called to go out in the highway and the hedges and compel them to come in, Luke chapter 14, verse 23. We are sent by Christ in John chapter 20, verse 21. And we have received the Holy Ghost. We are empowered by Him to be witnesses, amen? And all of us can do it. All of us should do it. Amen. And our church will be blessed more for doing it. And you will. He that winneth souls is wise. We need to get out. And we need to be witnesses. Amen. We need to share the gospel. Our Father will be glorified when we bear fruit. Amen. And we bear more fruit, and we bear much fruit. May God help us as a church. May God help us as a church in our community that we minister to have more of a burden for their souls. In closing, faith, you know, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, I simply ask you this morning, I gave us four characteristics of a model church. It was a church that was studying the Word of God. It was a church that had great Christian fellowship. It was a church that worshiped. And it was a church that was witnessing, evangelistic. You heard the old saying, church, we're only as strong as our weakest link. So yes, I preached to the church this morning, but I preached to you as a church individual. As faith starts playing, if God has spoken to your heart this morning, I ask you to come do business with the Lord, maybe in your seat or at the old-fashioned altar. This wasn't a salvation message, but the first point is for you. If you're unsaved in here today, I ask you, this invitation is for you to come get saved. Come be part of that family of God. Come be born again. Have your sins washed away. The second question is for us as a church. How does our church rank up in comparison to what the Lord wants our church to be? How do you think our church ranks? I think we got a pretty good church. We got a church that loves preaching the Word of God, teaching the Word of God. But how's our members? Do they love hearing it? They love it? Do they get into it? Do you read it? Do you study it? Do you make much out of it? Are you a student of the Word? How are you in fellowshiping? Are you in good fellowship with God? Do you love fellowshipping with other believers? Do you love spending time? That's part of the ministry, fellowshipping one another. Do you look for a way that you can be a blessing to the church and blessing to the people? Help others? Coming to church? Are you coming to worship for the right reasons? Are you coming because you want to be here? And last, are you witnessing? Are you sharing your faith with others? Do you tell others? I love our church. I love our people. I want to see God do great and mighty things. How about you? I love our church, like I just said. I love our people. I want to see God do great and mighty things. And I hope you do too. I want us to be a Bible-believing church that believe and live the Word of God. I want us to worship Him. I want us to praise His name. I want us to have sweet fellowship with one another. But I want us to be that lighthouse, that beacon of light, of hope for others in our community. And we want you to get a passion for souls. Lord, I do thank you, Lord God, for this day. Again, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to preach and proclaim your word. And Lord, as we looked at the church in Acts 2, we call it a model church, an example. And Lord, we see things that they did in their love for you and their love for the word of God. And Lord, how they weren't afraid, they weren't ashamed, they were bold in their witness. And Lord, I pray, Lord, for our church. I pray for Friendship Baptist Church. Lord, that we will be a light, we'll be a beacon in our community. And Lord, that we'll go forth and share the good news, the gospel with others. And Lord, that we'll be a stronger church in our community. And Lord, we'll do more to get the gospel around the world. Lord, thank you for the privilege to preach. And I pray the folks were challenged this morning. Lord, encouraged through the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that you were edified. And Lord, that you were honored through it, the service. Bless now as we go into Sunday school, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.